For the past 25 years, Bordeaux Index has been relentless in our focus on changing the fine wine market for collectors and investors. Today, we are the largest seller of fine wine and spirits globally. Bordeaux Index, join us and visit bordeauxindex.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Talk, the Spectator's food and drink podcast. I'm Laura Prendergast.
And I'm Olivia Potts.
And today we're delighted to be joined by both Mylene Klass and Jamie Barber. Mylene is a British singer, presenter, musician, model and businesswoman. She was a member of the pop group Hearsay and later released two solo classical albums. More recently, she has been a television and radio presenter.
And Jamie is a restaurateur with a sheaf of restaurants to his name, including Cabana and Hache, and founded Valandry, Sacchino Hanna and Italian Kitchen. Together, Mylene and Jamie developed during lockdown My Supper Hero, a home meal kit delivered to the door, which is also conscious to reduce the amount of plastic waste used. Mylene and Jamie, welcome to Table Talk.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for having us.
Mylene, let's start with you. What are your earliest memories of food?
I'm from a very mixed family, literally. My mum is from the Philippines, so there's a lot of influences of Spanish food, Filipino food, Asian food in general. And on my father's side, he's Austrian, so of course quintessential strudel, which had to be as thin as paper. It had to be rolled out every Sunday. We had to clear the entire table. It had to be done just right. And I really love the social aspect of food. I think as a result, I love a full table. Those are my earliest memories, all the family coming around and just chatting for hours and eating at the table, and the never-ending supply of dishes coming. And I think because it's such a multicultural family that I grew up in, you never knew genuinely what you were going to get next, what the combination was going to be. Now you go to restaurants and it's all about fusion, but we instigated that just purely by who was in my family.
And Jamie, how about you? What are your earliest memories of food?
Well, it's funny because we didn't really have a big foodie family when I was growing up, and I think I was first really conscious of food when I went to university, and I lived in a flat with five girls, which was a great fun experience. And I started cooking for the first time at university just because I quite enjoyed it and it was creative. And then when I started cooking, I got some kind of wow reactions from my flatmates, and I don't think I was really expecting that. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm getting attention for doing this. And then I kind of leveraged on that, and then I became the kind of cook of the household. And I think it was really that university experience and the smiles that I got back from cooking that got me into food in the first place.
And how did you both learn to cook? Mylene, let's start with you. Was that something you got from your parents with their mixed heritage?
I mean, some would argue that I'm still learning to cook. Because I'm more scientific in my approach to cooking. I like to get into the kitchen and I don't have that alchemist touch. So I see it as more of a means to an end. I like the wow factor there that Jamie was talking about. So I love bringing everyone together around the table side of things. I definitely like the wow, but I don't really like the craft. I really don't enjoy tasting a dish in the kitchen and going, I know what this needs. It needs more lemon, needs more garlic. That's more my sister's side of things. And I've always watched with, you know, real admiration as to how people just know what's missing, what ingredients is missing. But that's also something I do enjoy, the fact that, you know, I appreciate there can't be too many cooks in the kitchen. And that's why I do love My Supper Hero, because I like the wow factor. I like how quick it is. And I like that we can sit around the table and get straight to the chatting, but it's still really good food. I love good food. I love all the things that go into it, but I just don't want to have to get all the pots and pans out.
And Jamie, what about you? So you talk about university. Were you sort of reading out of cookbooks, or was it just a magic touch? How did you become a cook?
I hate recipes. I can't bear recipes. I find them really distracting. And I think they take out that kind of creative edge of kind of improv and free flow.
You're an alchemist, Jamie.
You're one. I am the alchemist. So actually, I like the idea. I like cookbooks to give you inspiration as to what to cook. But then I kind of like to try and work out how to do it myself. And so, yeah, no, I've never had any formal training. It's the same with Supper Hero, actually. That's why we made the the instructions, the assembly instructions, the cooking instructions are super simple, because I don't think people really want to spend their entire evenings slavishly following long-winded recipes when they could be having a chat with their friends.
Jamie's being very, very sweet, but what he actually does is he sends over secret parcels to me of like smoked salt. This is what you need. He'll just send over these packages of, this is a special oil that you should put on your fish. And I'm just, all these exotic bags keep arriving full of ingredients to the house. And I bless him. He then writes an instruction kit as to what I do with it.
I introduced Mylene to the wonders of hydroponic vertical organic lettuces.
Yes, he did.
She's a bit of a convert now.
I'm obsessed with them, but again, it's because of the science side that you can grow lettuces, that you can grow vegetation vertically in the most productive way. So a hydroponic lettuce in the form of a rosette delivered to your door, I think that's just something that we are living in the future. That's the scientific side of me, for sure.
And just to take you both back slightly again, what about school food? Do you have happy memories of school food, Mylene?
I actually do have happy memories of school food, which I don't think is a very popular version of accounts for many people, but I liked semolina. I liked tapioca. I liked the really stodgy custard. I kind of just liked it all. But I also, and I think this reflects in the marketing side for us, I love how retro the tables were. Do you remember the glasses we used to have and the sort of cracked effect on the formica of the tables at school? That's something that we've used for a real retro feel to some of our imagery. And again, I think that's been no coincidence. But on the whole, I like all of it, from the queuing up, the lining up, not knowing what you're going to get, the surprise element of it, and even getting seconds if you've been really good to the dinner ladies.
And Jamie, how about you?
So I don't think I ate anything other than crisps between the ages of 6 and 16. I found it absolutely appalling. I found the smell of it. I found, literally, I did not go into the school canteen for 10 years, and it was horrific. And I still have nightmares of the smell of that kind of stewed, almost kind of musty cooking. Oh, no, it's not for me. No, so I had a really bad diet in those kind of early teenage years. It's terrible.
And Jamie, when you left school, you went to study law, and I think had appeared as a jazz pianist. How have you ended up in the food world? How did you become a restaurateur?
So my story was that I went to a really great law firm called Harbottle and Lewis that specialised in music, TV, film, entertainment. And I was very lucky in that my boss at the time was retiring, and he had a roster of really cool old 1960s kind of black and white iconic British celebrities. So he was acting for people like Michael Caine and Roger Moore and originally people like Peter Sellers. And he started to pass that practice on to me, and I became very close to Roger Moore and his family. And Roger's son, Jeffrey, became a very close friend of mine, and he wanted to start a restaurant, didn't know how to do it. And to cut a very long story short, I said, well, I haven't got a clue how to do it either, and I'll leave law, and why don't we do it together? And we opened this restaurant, Hush, in Mayfair, which is still going really, really strong. And then I got a bug for it and just stayed in the business 20 years later.
And Mylene, what about your early career? Because yours was obviously slightly different. You auditioned for the ITV show Pop Stars in 2001 and then went on to join the pop group Hearsay. What was food like back then when you were working as a pop star?
Oh God, well, on tour, absolutely shocking. I think it's awful now because you could never get away with saying it, but the amount of headlines that we had as the fattest band in pop, it was never ending. We were highly scrutinized over what we ate and what we looked like, even by other bands. I remember even another band's manager, who shall remain nameless, coming up to us and saying, you can't go on stage like that. But I think all this to say, it shows that we loved our food. We basically ate our way around the UK on tour. But I think for me, I'm very visual with my food. I think as well as, you know, having a Filipino mother, when you see all the colours that are laid out in Asian cuisine, that's always been something that I've really paid huge attention to, more so the presentation. But yeah, of course, the flavour as well. But I do think when it does come to the pop star days and how things have have changed and evolved very much so now. I think people have the space to, you know, look the way they want, celebrate the food they want to eat. You know, whoever thought that we'd be taking photos of our dinner and just posting it up, this is breakfast, this is lunch, this is our supper, that just never would have happened before. And I really do celebrate that we're doing it now.
So tell us about how the two of you met and how My Supper Hero came about. Jamie, tell us about that.
Mylene and I have known each other for about 10 years. So our kids were at the same school, and then they both moved school at exactly the same time to the same school. So we've been school gate parents for the last decade. And I think the genesis really of Supper Hero was born out of lockdown, because everybody at that period was kitchened out. There were very few alternatives other than delivered takeaways. And I think we tried quite a lot of the recipe boxes, and they were quite basic and they were still raw ingredients. And so they fitted a need in that we didn't need to think about what to cook that day, because we had a box of basically vegetables and some raw chicken that would arrive. But they were still very, very time consuming to put together, because you still had to do the peeling and the chopping and the washing up. And we just felt, my family felt, that there had to be a better alternative, because all that we wanted to do was to eat brilliantly at home once a week and then do something else with our lives, like catch up with friends or watch Netflix. So we wanted the whole thing done very simply in 10 minutes of preparation, nothing more than 10 minutes, because that was kind of the sweet spot for us. And I was having this conversation with Mylene, and Mylene was having exactly the same conversations with her family, that there must be a better way to be able to eat so well at home, to have some kind of sensational supper and then go on and have command of your own time. So we were looking really for a solution for time-poor foodies. And then after lockdown finished, we still felt as a family that need, that solution, was still something that we needed to solve. And Mylene felt the same way. And so Supper Hero was actually founded after lockdown. The genesis of the idea originated over lockdown, but we didn't really start putting it together until after lockdown finished. And now I think it has now become a fixture in both of our lives, that it is a way for us once a week not to have any hassle or stress in the kitchen, but to be able to eat brilliantly in our own houses.
It's interesting what Jamie says there, because we have been friends for a long time now, but yeah, to have the conversation that we had about food, I would call it kitchen fatigue. I was on the radio broadcasting through lockdown, and it came through. There's some survey that said the average household works a rotation of 6 meals. And we did a story on this because I thought, that cannot be. What, of all the food in the entire world, the average household rotates 6 meals? And then I thought about it and I thought, oh my God, it's me. And I'm running out of ideas. I'm definitely running out of inspiration. And another thing is, and I think this is, it's just terrifying that it's still happening now, the amount of packaging, the amount of packaging that comes with a lot of these delivery services, I think is an absolute travesty, because, you know, we're so recycling aware, we're so green aware now, but how is this still allowed to continue? So this was something that was really at the heart of My Supper Hero. And if you look at all of our packaging, it's plant-based, it's compostable. And I really think that's just pretty powerful. And also something that I thought was a real positive for My Supper Hero. There was a lot of judgment I felt every time another box was arriving at our household. You know, maybe it was something I just felt the guilt of, but I feel quite proud when our boxes arrive, because they're just so sleek. It's almost like it could be a shoe delivery for you know, the boxes. I don't know if you've seen them. I wanted the packaging, I wanted the whole experience to be something quite special, not something you scurry away or hide, but something you actually celebrate from the minute it arrives on your doorstep all the way through to when it lands on your plate.
So tell us about the kind of dishes you can get in the meal kits, how they differ from other meal kits. Now, you've talked about the preparation time and that sort of thing, but just tell us a bit more about them. Do you have a favourite kit within them?
I have a favourite kit, and I know Jamie keeps trying to get me out of this habit, but every Wednesday I get roasted cauliflower without fail. And then Jamie says, well, you should try the lamb koftas, or maybe you should look at the chicken or the sea bream. I will then just add it to the roasted cauliflower, because again, I am that person that knows what they like. And I'm now just working a more, I suppose, exaggerated version of the rota. But what I love about this is when people normally sell in the idea of finishing boxes, there's still a lot of prep. There's still a lot of packaging. There's still a lot of prep. But this does what it says on the tin. We've genuinely looked at these incredible meals and put them together in such a way that when we say 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes. I've got three children. At the weekends, I've got five children. I'm a blended family of seven. I do not have time to read and prep and shop. And I don't even want to. I want to spend that time with my family. And this is just the ideal way to do it. So, you know, we have a phenomenal head chef, Charlie, and the flavors he puts together. He is an alchemist. But at the same time, it just means that I can replicate that and bring it to the table. And I enjoy that. And also because I live with all my little eco warriors who are phenomenal. They know all the packaging. They're looking at it all. They love that it's plant-based, but it feels plasticky. So they're looking at how it's engineered. I think that's really important for them to know that their mum and Uncle Jamie from down the road, you know, they're doing something that really is helping make a change. That means a lot to our children.
Funnily enough, my breakthrough moment was when my executive chef at one of my restaurants called Hush is a fantastic chef called Tom Anglesey. And during lockdown, I spoke to him and I said, Tom, what do you cook for your family? What do you, if you had a, you know, Wednesday night, what would you cook at home? And he said, well, you know, I might get a couple of lamb shanks from a fantastic butcher in N16 and I'll marinate them in some really lovely Mediterranean flavours like feta and apricot and olive oil and lemon. And then maybe I'd just make a fantastic tzatziki with some hung organic yogurt. And I know this bakery that has flatbreads where they're cooked on an old sort of centuries old process where the dough is thrown onto hot pebbles. And I'd just probably just rip off a piece of the flatbread and dip it in the lamb shanks and then have it with a Greek salad and the tzatziki. And I went, wow, that sounds amazing. I tell you what, can you do one of those and bring it over to my house and we can have a try? So he brought it over and I said to Mylene, will you come over actually? Because there's something I want to show you. And Mylene came over and I said, it's lamb shanks. And Mylene's face dropped and she went, I'm not really that keen on lamb. And it's not really for me. Anyway, 20 minutes later, she had literally devoured the entire lot. It was finished. It was finished. And that was kind of, I went, there's something here. Because we can surprise people with different flavours. And if it's cooked really, really well, then, you know, I think that's something that could catch on. So that dish has become really popular. And we've got a dish which my kids absolutely adore, which is a miso salmon bao bun dish, which is absolutely fantastic.
Well, Mylene, clearly the lamb has made a big impact because you've, for the Easter issue of The Spectator, you've written a lamb recipe for us. So that's, readers will be able to make that one at home as well.
I feel so intimidated when I hear, you know, people who are really confident in the kitchen and it feels like everybody can cook or everybody knows that they've all got this one recipe up their sleeves. And I think it's just really nice that you can just be so honest and go, look, actually, I'm more in the eating side of things. We even said, you know, less shopping, more chatting. And that's where I'm at. And I don't think there's any shame in saying that, because not everybody is going to be like Jamie is in the kitchen or like, you know, the friends that he's describing there. But I think what we do all share is that commonality of wanting to sit around the table and just enjoy family time and enjoy that food time with them. Jamie's a huge family man, and I'm in huge admiration of how he runs his household and the family team that he has with his wife as well. The way that it all just comes together, it really is something that isn't, it's not just about the food, it's about the whole experience. And I think that's pretty evident in how Jamie speaks and how Jamie puts together these ideas.
What about comfort food? Jamie, what's comfort food for you?
Comfort food. I mean, I think if I was cooking comfort food, I think my kind of go-to dish really is I cook a porchetta with stuffed with pine nuts and breadcrumbs and fennel seeds and have that with mashed potatoes in the winter. That's kind of my kind of winter comfort food. But to be honest, my go-to stuff is that I still love Asian food, Chinese food. I think if I had to live the rest of my life on spring rolls, I think I'd be quite happy about that.
I can make those, Jamie.
Perfect. Okay, it's on you next time then.
Mylene, what about you? What's comfort food for you?
Oh, mine's really easy. Anything dipped in cheese, anything dipped in salted caramel. anything.
Tell us, to finish, about your desert island meals. What would your ultimate meal be? Mylan, let's start with you.
My mum's egg fried rice, my partner, my fiance's Sunday roast, and my Wednesday order of my supper hero, which is a roasted cauliflower. I'm obsessed with it.
And would you have anything sweet to finish? You don't have to, but if you'd like to, we can arrange that.
Anything dipped in salted caramel. I've just come back from away and tried a salted caramel cheesecake. I cannot believe that heaven does actually exist on earth. Jamie, do feel free to help me, or maybe rustle one up.
Okay. No, I would definitely make a raft of spring rolls and probably eat my way through it as I was escaping the desert island.
What's the secret to a good spring roll, do you think?
The secret, I don't know, I'm just addicted. I'm a sucker for anything that's deep fried. It's terrible. It's absolutely awful, but I do like my crispy, crunchy stuff. So,
Jamie, do you know Turon? Turon is a Filipino dish, and it's a spring roll wrapper, but it's got banana inside it. Mm. And then you can either have it with, I don't know, like with brown sugar. Sometimes they add brown sugar to it, sometimes ice cream. It's deep fried.
I actually had yesterday a Filipino, it's like a sweet brioche bun, which was filled with a ice cream, that like a purple ice cream.
It's called ubi. It's purple. It's ubi. So, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Like yam jam, they call it.
It was amazing.
Well, Mylene and Jamie, thank you very much for joining us on Table Talk.
I'm hungry now. Thank you.